Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with The Stronger Man, The Sin Against the Holy Spirit, Good Fruit and Bad, The Sign of Jonah, and The Plight of the Homeless Demon. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
There's no right to an abortion. In or implied by the Constitution, it was made up out of whole cloth by the Supreme Court in 1973.
It's one thing to believe something about yourself that is contrary to reality. It is a whole other thing to construct a system that requires everybody else to play along with your illusion.
Regarding Jesus, 2/3 of evangelicals, 65%, affirm this statement: Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. That statement is pure heresy.
Babies?
Babies.
Love?
Love.
Listening?
Ning.
To? Issues?
Issues.
Etc.
Shada.
With?
With.
There?
Dear.
Mommies?
Mommies.
There are better known Reformation hymns, A Mighty Fortress, Thy Strong Word. We could go on. This one, this little hymn, Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide, fits the bill beautifully for a Reformation hymn, if for only one reason. Every single stanza mentions what's at the heart of the Reformation, the Word of God. People often talk about how, coming to Lutheran theology, they get this genuine sense of assurance in the objectivity of their salvation, that the salvation has been accomplished outside them, and that these things are true apart from them. Well, that's true, and that's what's sung about in this hymn, those things that the Word guarantees outside our ability to believe it, outside our feelings, outside our experience. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the new studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying the Reformation hymn. It's also an evening hymn. It's also a word hymn, church militant hymn. Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest a little bit later. We're going to be discussing Pope Francis's reported statements about same-sex civil unions. Pastor Paul McCain, general editor of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions, will be our guest. Joining us to study this hymn, Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide, Pastor Will Wheaton, assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio. It's called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Joy to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit about how to categorize this hymn. Most hymnals have categories. They're grouped by categories. Ours is no exception. Mm-hmm. Lutheran service book, Christmas, Easter, the seasons, then topics and doctrines. How should this one be categorized?
Well, I don't know if I would say should, but I'm saying if I were the one doing it, I'd have stuck it more in our hymnal. It's in the section dealing with the Word of God, and it does deal with the Word of God. There's no question about that. But I think this is actually more of a church militant kind of hymn, a hymn about the church and her struggles through this world and about what gets her through those struggles. So that's where I would have shoved it, and that's why I think it's in a particularly appropriate hymn for the Feast of the Reformation. It's just one of these really great texts that grabs hold of the church in her very real lived experience on her pilgrimage through this world.
The authorship of this hymn, it might catch some people's eye because the name there, Philip Melanchthon, is synonymous with the early part of the Reformation, Luther's primary student and the author of the better part of the Lutheran Confessions.
Yeah, yeah. And there's no question that the hymn itself, this is so complicated. This is one of the most complicated developments of a hymn that I think we have in our book. So the origin of the hymn, especially the first stanza, is the big question. Philip Melanchthon did have a Latin rhyme that's very similar to the first stanza of this hymn in German. So people thought, okay, so he's the author of the hymn, but there's some question about that. The actual core of the hymn itself is by Melanchthon's student, Nicholas Zalnecker, who is one of the great writers of the Formula of Concord, a man who suffered a lot in his life for his steadfast confession of the faith. Even though he's Philip's student, he ended up getting in trouble all the time with the crypto-Calvinist leaning folk, and he just had a lot of struggle in his life. But he wrote the hymn to actually be associated with Psalm 122. He had a little book called The Psalter with Short Summaries and Little Prayers for Fathers to Use with Their Children. So let me just briefly read Psalm 122 so you get the background there. David, beautiful pastor. I always think of it in my home church because it had it right across the door when you came into the church. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is firmly bound together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now, of course, the church takes up Psalm 122 and sees herself as this city, as Jerusalem, right? And so this prayer for the peace of Jerusalem is a prayer for the well-being of the church. There is a little tag that they actually put with it. It said, a psalm of thanksgiving for God's particular grace that has always been at all times, that there's always been at all times a place where God's word can be rightly preached, taught, and learned. So it's a celebration that the gates of hell can never prevail against the church. God has always preserved his word that preserves the church. So, I mean, that's the bulk of the stanzas that Zalnecker put together were actually on that, like our stanza 4, 5, and 6. That's where they came from. Then earlier, or a little later, rather, stanza 3 gets added on. And just, it's like a joint venture. Yeah. Did you ever get stuck doing those group projects in school? They usually don't turn out so good. This is actually a group project that turned out really well. So that by the time it's done and several people have worked on it, you have this masterpiece of a hymn. It's maybe the first stanza inspired by Philip's words. Certainly, though, the whole mostly due to Zalnecker. And it becomes so beloved in the Lutheran church. Anybody who knows the writings of Hermann Zassa knows this hymn, right? Because he just continually comes back to it over and over again. It's sort of a lens through which he looks at the world in which he lives. And similarly, our dear Father in Christ, Ron Feuerhahn, right? How many times he would refer to this hymn, maybe because it was Zassa's favorite, I don't know. He just would come back to it again and again to help us understand the church militant, the church as she struggles in this world with the preservation of the word and the sacrament and the prayer that Christ would keep her pure in both of those.
Well, while we're still on the author or authors of this hymn, this kind of committee work, what kind of pressures were these men facing at the time of the Reformation that eventually resulted in this kind of hymn being put together?
Well, remember that they could have been killed at any time. They were officially under bans, right, from anybody who sided with Luther was an outlaw, at least until 1555. It was illegal to actually be a Lutheran Christian in the Holy Roman Empire, anywhere in the lands of the Holy Roman Empire. So they knew that they could have their property confiscated, they could face death, all of that was there and real. And then afterward, there came a huge pressure, especially at the time that Zelnecker was operating, to cave on the rulers many times went sort of semi-Calvinist or outright Calvinist. And the pressure was, look, you want to keep your job here? Don't be preaching against doctrine on the Lord's Supper that we disagree on. But the Lutherans couldn't compromise on that. And so they had a lot of times where, like Zelnecker, you lost your positions. Over and over again, this happened to this poor man. He would be fired, if I can put it that way. I mean, he dismissed the elector, like, out you go. If you're going to continue with that stubbornness, I'm not going to put up with it. That's the way it's always been when the Word of God does its thing and people don't, they want it to, they're happy for the Word, but they want it their way. And when you just let the unvarnished truth hang out there, you pay a price. These men both did.
So that kind of brings us back around to that categorization question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is the Word itself that sustains the church militant. And it is the Word that is the church militant's armor, weapon, everything.
Right. And the text is going to make that crystal clear as we work our way through it. Just a brief word on the tune. That showed up also in the 16th century later on. And it's always been associated with the text. So they go kind of hand in glove together.
Could it also be an evening hymn? Just a general use evening hymn?
Well, whenever you begin with Round Us Falls the Eventide, you can see that it would be appropriate. But the church looks at the fall of the evening as a kind of picture of the darkness that gathers, the gloom that gathers around her.
So is that psalm the primary biblical text?
Well, it certainly would be the one that inspired it. But I think given the way the first stanza, which remember was not part of the original, took it, we would want to say that the first biblical text that we should think of here is Luke 24, right? Where Jesus on Easter evening meets up with these disciples on their way to Emmaus, and he expounds the scriptures to them, and he makes as if he's going to go on a little farther. And then when their eyes had not yet been opened, but their hearts were burning because he was explaining the scriptures to them, they begged him, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to be with them. But I think you can also think of Psalm 119 and verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path," or even of Jesus' own words in John 9. "As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." So the hymn is going to literally revolve around all of these.
One more question before we get into the text. Why isn't this hymn better known?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, because the first time I heard it, it grabbed me. And I thought, it can't be that the tune is hard. It's not. It's an easy tune.
Just like a lullaby.
Yeah, it's almost, yeah. And it's got a text that's very picturesque and memorable. So I'm just not sure why it hasn't grabbed people. I don't know.
The first stanza of the hymn, "Lord Jesus Christ with us abide. Lord Jesus Christ with us abide, for round us falls the eventide. Oh, let your word, that saving light, shine forth undimmed into the night." You had mentioned that Psalm 119 reference there, and that seems to be kind of the gem at the heart of this first stanza.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly the picture from Luke 24 at the beginning, but when you're coming into the darkness, you need a light. You need a light to be able to see around. And the light that God gives us to get through the darkness of this world is always His Word. But I don't want to lose the idea that the eventide is falling around us. There's this impression of deepening darkness going on, in which the light of the Word shines ever, ever brighter. So eventide implies time's running out. It's running to its end. you think of the Lord's clear teaching that he's going to come at midnight, right? In the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And so how often he exhorted, stay awake, stay awake. You know, he didn't mean that you could never sleep. He meant that you should always be vigilant and watching as the darkness grows. And remember that this idea of the encounter with Christ in the darkness, if you will, it really runs through the scriptures. St. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you don't need that I write you, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So nighttime being the time when we're going to be surprised by the return of our Lord. And this beautiful prayer then, that as we are facing gathering, growing, dark days, that the light of his word would continue to shine upon us and shine the light of Christ into us, that's what it's really there to do.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the Reformation hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide. When we come back, is this cycle of day and night built into creation there to help us rehearse the entire history of the world? Stay tuned. During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Wheaton's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Philip Hauser with Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Papillion, Nebraska. We're faithful to the Lutheran confessions as recorded in the Book of Concord, and our services are traditional Eucharistic liturgies in accordance with the ancient texts Saturday evening and Sunday morning. If you're ever in Omaha, come visit us. We're on Lincoln Street between 84th and 96th in Papillion. Our website is lambofgodlcms.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
We're studying the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our guest is Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. You can purchase these books by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or online at cph.org. Will, do you think that this cycle that we've been talking about, this morning and evening, light and darkness, is built into creation so that we might rehearse on a daily basis the whole history of the world?
The history of the world and the history of your life. It starts in light and it ends in darkness, right? So everything is practiced for death. Everything is practiced for where the world's course of history is actually running and turning to, so that we are prepared on that day. But we go into the darkness with the light. I mean, you're going into the darkness where everything's going to be taken away from you. But there is one thing that cannot be taken away from you, and that is the Word of God. And those words, if you hold on to them, they light the way through the dark, through the valley of the shadow of death.
the original context of this first stanza, if it does indeed derive from Philip Melanchthon, this is a man who himself, during the time of the Reformation, knew the difference between light and dark in that spiritual sense, who lived it in many ways.
Yeah. Right now in the Treasury of Daily Prayer, if you're reading your Book of Concord along in that pattern, we're in the middle of the apology. And my goodness, I don't think Melanchthon, who wrote the apology, he's so open with his emotions in that particular document as he goes through his frustration and anger with those who would obscure the grace of God for poor burdened consciences, because he was one of those. He knew what it was to have a need for something solid on which he could stand, something that wouldn't wobble. And that was what he was given in Christ himself. He didn't want to let go of that. So his plea here, if this is based on his verse, is indeed the right one. Lord, give us your saving light, the saving light of your word. Let it shine on and get me through this night, including the dark night of the soul.
The second stanza, in those last days of great distress, grant us, dear Lord, true steadfastness, that we may keep pure till life is spent, your holy word and sacrament. What are your thoughts here, Will?
Well, you know, in our day and age, I think we're more like the people Peter writes about in 2 Peter, where, you know, where's the sign of his coming? It's been forever and everything's going on the same way it has since the beginning. And at the time of the Reformation, that was not the attitude. From the Middle Ages, you had this impending sense of doom moving your way. And they had a very Greek consciousness that everything they were doing was in view of the fact that they were in the last days, which they took both biblically. I mean, there's no question, we're going to see it in a second from the Bible, that the last days literally begin with Jesus' death and resurrection. But they were also thinking in terms of the final days of this world. They thought it can't go on much longer. It sure can't, not the way the things have been going. So they had that sense of the imminent return of Christ was like looking over their shoulder as they lived their lives and as they sought to be faithful in handling the things of the Lord. It's one of the reasons why, Todd, Luther, unlike Cranmer in England, you know, he took provision for how to provide for the church services for the future and all that. I mean, Luther was just, well, you know, he's coming back, so we don't really need to worry about getting all that stuff down, do we? You know, so he didn't do the same amount of work on that Cranmer did. And I think that's a very telling thing on Luther's part. He really did think that way. And the early Lutherans were quite convinced along with him that, yeah, it might very well be within our lifetime here that this moment is going to happen. And we should always have that attitude, of course. Sometimes we fail. And like I said, I don't think it's a big part of people's consciousness today, but it should be. Every year, Advent comes around to remind us, hey, remember, don't settle down here in this world. This is not it. You are in the last days.
The prayer to not only have a pure word and sacrament, but that these things be preserved,
mm-hmm,
is at the heart of the whole thinking throughout this entire hymn, that this light isn't just God's word in some general sense. It is what we are given on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. And I really want to sort of dwell on the last days thing too. Hebrews 1, of course, teaches that you are in the last days. God, who at sundry times in a divers manner spoke in time past to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Similarly, 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even so now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. But think about this expression, great distress. Do you remember how Paul described this in 2 Timothy 3? We know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Whoa. I mean, can anybody read that and not go, hey, has he been surfing Facebook or what? You know, or Twitter? This is it. This is the world we're living in, right? These last days of sort of stress, what are you going to hold against that? And that darkness, which is just really bigger than anything metaphorical, right? You know, in this darkness, we need the light that shines in the darkness, and that the darkness cannot snuff out or overcome. And that's the light of Christ, which we have in his word. The idea of keeping the word pure, the word and sacrament pure, is also something we want to think about. The other day, we lost power at home. We had to pull out our kerosene lamps. And it always strikes me when we light up the kerosene lamps about how it's a huge difference in the light if the shade is smoky. If you hadn't really cleaned it out, you know, we stick newspaper down in there and it's amazing how that cleans out all the soot. But if you don't do that, then the light is nowhere near as bright. I think of the pure word and sacrament as like that. Don't let the accretions, the smoke of human reason, dim these lights. This light is too precious, and it's the only thing that's going to guide you through this huge darkness that's around us.
We pray, most churches do, that follow the liturgy, pray for the preservation of preaching and of the sacraments among us. Well, these are free gifts from God. Why are we asking God to preserve them among us?
Well, we know that if he does not preserve them among us, then the church herself cannot endure. I mean, we have the promise that the church is not going to, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. We take that to mean that the word and the sacraments will endure. That's why Zelnecker began by putting it with Psalm 122, that this is the preservation of the church that we're celebrating here, which is obtained through the word and sacraments. God has a strong word, and that strong word can preserve his people.
We're talking with Pastor Will Wheaton, studying the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide. The third stanza when we come back, to hope grown dim, to hearts turned cold, speak tongues of fire and make us bold, to shine your word of saving grace to each dark and loveless place. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
The epistle to the Galatians is the epistle I love the most, which I have taken as my wife. It is my Katie von Bora. Those were Martin Luther's words about Paul's letter to the Galatians. It was his beloved epistle, and he wrote some of his best commentaries on it. Read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, Galatians and the Reformation, to learn more. Witness.lcms.org to learn about it and how to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective. Witness.lcms.org.
The Church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love.
The 6th century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Independent and in the black for 12 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
At the center of our campus is Kramer Chapel, and there's a reason for that.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Arthur Just.
Because it is the heartbeat of Concordia Theological Seminary. It is where we go to hear the voice of Jesus and frequently be fed with the body and blood of Christ. We sometimes call it our Jerusalem. Kramer Chapel points to the classroom, which we sometimes call Athens. It is there that we do theology, biblical studies, systematic theology, practical theology, history. We love theology here, and we love the study of it, and we love coming together in worship. It's one of the things that gives us great joy. Joy in worshiping, joy in studying theology. Concordia Theological Seminary is all about the joy of being in Jesus.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu. Stanza 3 of the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide. We're studying this Reformation hymn on this Thursday afternoon with Pastor Will Whedon, host of the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio, called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, when Scripture warns that in the last days love will grow cold, what is it talking about?
Yeah, it's certainly true that as people turn away from God and from everything that is good and beautiful in his world, they turn toward, well, I can only just describe it as the heart of Satan himself, you know, totally self-obsessed and full of darkness and cold and just not actually reaching out and caring about others. It's huge. I think it's important for us just to recognize that can happen. Hearts can get cold and hope can grow dim. It is possible to be beaten down and just wearied. And St. Paul exhorts, remember the Galatians in chapter 6, he's like, guys, don't get tired of doing well. Just keep on doing it. And there's something of weariness, I think, also when Christ is dealing with that poor little church in Philadelphia. Do you remember this in Revelation 3? It's the only church that he doesn't have anything negative to say about, really. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he who is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon the earth, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He says to that little church, you got the word, and that's what's keeping you faithful. Pray that it keeps on keeping you faithful. Don't let anything take that away from you.
Is part of God's purpose in allowing us now to taste a little bit of what Christians have tasted for centuries and centuries to drive us ever more back to church, to make that church not just a place of convenience that we go on Sunday morning, but of refuge from the world?
Yeah. I would even say stronger than to drive us back to church is to drive us back to him. I mean, he provides the church as the place of access to him, that we might come through his word to believe in him, to be embraced by him, to hold him. And yeah, he certainly is. He's doing that in our days, where the church is indeed this haven, this refuge. In the midst of all the craziness, here's the word that never changes. It's the word that endures. Everything else, heaven and earth, they're going to pass away, but these words, they are never going to pass away. And as you hear them, as you sing them, as you believe them, as you taste and eat them, you will experience that which abides forever. We should probably mention tongues of fire just briefly, of course, evokes Pentecost. And the prayer that the Spirit would fall afresh upon us and open our lips so that we speak this word in season, out of season, into every dark and loveless place. I love that line, actually, because it shows that the church's mission is to actually shine the light of the world, the word, into the darkness of the world, at the places where things are the worst. That's the place where Christ actually sends us with a word of hope. He gives us a word of love unconquerable to carry into the darkness.
Before we leave this stanza behind, we're kind of seeing, as I said, what many Christians have seen before throughout their lives. And maybe it's because in our lifetimes, Will, we have been raised in kind of the latter days of a very polite and courteous society. I don't know why, but we're kind of getting to see a little bit of our natural state. Mm-hmm. We do not default to polite, nice, let the other guy go first. We default to nature red in tooth and claw.
Yeah, I think it was John Paul II who put it like this in his little book, or in his Theology of the Body, where he says, you know, the alternative Christianity is the war of any against all and of all against any. And I think that is actually what the old Adam is. That is, I mean, you take away the structures and safeguards that Christendom has actually benefited society by, and what's left is nothing but that you know, yeah, claw or tooth. It becomes ugly really, really, really fast.
Or like Orwell says, you want a picture of human history, it is a boot pounding a face for eternity.
There it is. There it is. I mean, well, let's be clear. There it is if we're living in the city of man, Cain. But if we're living in the city of God, Abel and Seth, and where the word of God does its thing, something enters in that you sense right away that is alien to that, you know, I want what I want when I want it. I mean, it just kills it. And there is a brand new way of living that is so joyous and wonderful that you're like, oh man, what an idiot I was to think the other way.
Stanza 4, may glorious truths that we have heard, the bright sword of your mighty word, spurn Satan, that your church be strong, bold, unified in act and song.
May glorious truths that we have heard, the bright sword of Satan, that your church be strong, bold, unified in act and song.
What would you say about this? I love the militant, we've got a sword, we're spurning Satan, the church is strong.
And she has glorious truths. We don't want to lose this. There are people that would try to tell you that, well, you know, Christianity isn't about propositions. Well, Luther in the Bondage of the Will actually has a great section where he says, hey, if you take away assertions from Christianity, you take away Christianity. There are truths that the Word of God holds forth to us, and it is these glorious truths that Christians use from the Word of God. So the bright sword, obviously evoking the image from Ephesians 6, where the only offensive weapon that is put into the Christian's hand is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which we are to take with prayer. That is the only thing that he puts into our hands to assault. Everything else is listed as defensive there. And note the prayer that spurning Satan, the church, and wielding her the word would be strong and bold and unified. Unified in what? In what she does, but above all unified in her song. Todd, the amazing thing about the song of the church is that overwhelmingly, it is just singing back the word to God. And even in the horrible splintering that has happened in the church, and, you know, we're, you know, found in all these different confessional camps trying to understand the Word of God, and not, the song of the church, the songs that we sing, many of them cross the lines because they're just the truth of the Word. And the Word remains this unifying gift from God that pulls Christians together and holds them with Christ. It's a great gift of God.
I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues, Etc. The hymn we're studying today is Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide. Our guest, Pastor Will Wheaton, has written about another hymn from God Can Nothing Move Me in the latest online Issues, Etc. journal. Also, rapper Flame has the Wittenberg Trail feature telling his story from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist theologies to the Lutheran Confession. You can read both of those great articles in the online Issues, Etc. journal absolutely free. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and you're subscribed to the online Issues, Etc. journal. On the other side, how do we understand this unity of the church when we can't see it, when in fact we see its opposite?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with The Stronger Man, The Sin Against the Holy Spirit, Good Fruit and Bad, The Sign of Jonah, and The Plight of the Homeless Demon. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland, is just like any other Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
We're studying the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Will, before the break, we were talking about that unity of the church that is something that must be believed. How do we understand that unity when we can't see it, when in fact we see its opposite?
Yeah, everything about the church is something that is believed, not seen. That is just the way it is in this world. God says, I say the church is one. We say, okay, we believe then in one church. But it's not something that anybody can see. I mean, Todd, if the church were in one visible organization spread throughout the entire world, you still wouldn't see the unity of the church. How could you see it? You can't see the bond by which the Holy Spirit unites a heart in saving faith to Jesus Christ. You can't see that. That's not going to be apparent until the day of the resurrection. When that occurs, then for the first time, the church will no longer be an object of faith. She'll be an object of sight. Everybody will be able to see it. Until that day, it is believed. Everything about the church is believed. Is it apparent that the Bible is the Word of God? Is it apparent that the bread and wine are Christ's body and blood? Is it apparent that forgiveness of sins and the blood of Christ ties under the water of holy baptism? Is it apparent that a sinful man speaking to you the forgiveness of sins actually releases you from your sin in the presence of God? None of that is apparent. All of that is believed, and believed by the Word. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
We were talking about this. I was guest preaching at a colleague's church several Sundays ago, and we were talking about this, the opening of the book of Romans, where Paul is talking about the bonds that join Christians together. And I was reminded of Christ's words where he says that these bonds are actually stronger, more enduring than mother, father, child, wife, husband. That's something we also don't see, Will, but especially we don't feel.
Right.
I feel my bonds to my relatives. I don't feel that bond, although it's stronger, to my fellow Christians.
Yeah, I think that's a common experience for us all, right? But there is something that happens in Christ that is more foundational, unites you more fundamentally to one another than anything outside of him. I don't care if they generated themselves, if you generated them from you, they come from your body and you dearly love them and all that stuff. It's not as intimate a bond as the one who actually lives inside of you and fills you with his divine life. That's the bond. And that's the same thing then that's in your fellow Christians. That's what unites us together. It's a great, it finally comes down to this. There is no glue in the world stronger than Christ.
Stanza 5, restrain, O Lord, the human pride that seeks to thrust your truth aside, or with some man-made thoughts or things would dim the words your spirit sings.
Restrain, O Lord, the human pride that seeks to thrust your truth aside, or with some man-made thoughts or things would dim the words your spirit sings.
This is one that maybe we need to set in its context with Zelnecker's original stanzas. This is one of his originals. What is he talking about in the context of his days?
Well, I think we have to be really, really clear that Janzow is a good translator, but he totally missed the point on this stanza. And let me give it to you from TLH, which I actually think is much closer to what Zelnecker was praying. The haughty spirits, Lord, restrain, who o'er thy church with might would reign, and always set forth something new, devised to change thy doctrine true. It's not human pride that the church is battling. It's the haughty spirits. It's the demons. He just totally wiped that out with his translation, and I think that's a real shame. And with that, you lose the idea of the problem of innovation in the church. Innovation is never good in the eyes of the church. Remember, the faith is once delivered to the saints. Whenever the church comes up with some brand new idea, it's like, turn around and run the other way. Stay away from the new ideas. Stick with the old, with what is in the Word. And, you know, the Lutherans were so self-conscious about this. I know it sounds really weird to people, but if you read how the Lutheran confessions speak about their opponents in Rome, they accuse them of innovation. They're like, no, you have new abuses that you are insisting on. We can show you from antiquity that that's wrong. That's not how the scriptures were understood. That's not how the church lived. I mean, I mentioned the Treasury's reading through the Apology. We just read through this section on the withholding the cup, right? I mean, it doesn't take very long to marshal the evidence that you can look at and see, obviously, scripture, Christ tells you, drink of it, all of you. Paul speaks about drinking of the one cup. And throughout the history of the early centuries, it's very clear that the cup was offered to both laity and clergy. Everyone received it. And then you come to this medieval practice in the West, and only in the West, where the blood of Christ is denied to the laity. And it's an innovation. And the Lutherans said, look, we don't go that way. We stick by the old. We're sticking with what the scriptures themselves have told us. And let me just actually quote some of the Augsburg Confession on this, because I think it's really powerful. At the end of the first part, part one, the conclusion, among us, the ancient rites, for the most part, are diligently observed, the ancient rites. And then at the end of the disputed articles, it is manifest and evident, to speak without boasting, that we have diligently and with God's help prevented any new and godless preaching from creeping into our churches and gaining the upper hand in them. Novelty. Novelty was the thing that Zalnecker was praying against, and novelty is the thing that the Augsburg Confession was warning against, too.
What are the novelties that assail the church today?
Well, as you look around in the broader culture, obviously this whole thing that God's word about same-sex relations, God's word about marriage, God's word about the good gift of children, God's word about life— all of these things are under assault in the broader culture. I mean, it still blows the minds of those of us who were raised in the remnants of Christendom that our culture has so fast descended into this. And who would have ever thought that these kind of things would be asserted? But yeah, they're asserted. It's like, well, if Paul really had understood the nature of human sexuality, he would have written differently than he did. No, the Holy Spirit is the author of those words, and it doesn't matter how uncomfortable they make a person feel. What matters is this is what God himself says. Stay by the word. It's the light that will guide you through the darkness.
How does God restrain these haughty spirits?
Well, he has his word and the prayers of his people that he uses, both of them. And his people pray to stick with the word, and the word keeps them firm with Christ. So as the church preaches and teaches and corrects and rebukes, she does so not with any... A passage that our world has learned from Jesus that they love is, judge not, right? And I don't want to undercut that passage. That is a huge passage. In fact, you could almost argue that judge not is the point of Paul's letter to the Romans even. I mean, it just is a point he comes back to again and again and again. But that does not mean that the church is not to denounce false teaching. And when you have somebody holding up something that's novel and saying, hey, this is a brand new insight into the way humans actually were meant to live and work and do, and you just need to back up and say, can you show me this from the scriptures? Where is this written? And if you can't do that, and if you can't show that that's how the scriptures were understood from the beginning, then it's an area that it's like a red flag. I mean, or a red light, warning light. It's like, back away. That's not an area you want to go to.
You're listening to a study of the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide, on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. If you appreciate our guest, Pastor Will Wheaton's biblical insights, be sure to listen to his daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study. It's called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. He's currently leading a study on Matthew's Gospel. It's available at thewordendures.org, the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app, and your favorite podcast provider. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. On the other side, the final stanza, stay with us, Lord, and keep us true. Preserve our faith our whole life through. Your word alone our heart's defense. the church's glorious confidence. After we conclude our conversation on this hymn, Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide, we'll spend some time with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. The Pope Francis has recently been reported to have made a statement in favor of same-sex civil unions. We'll see what it's all about after our conversation with Pastor Whedon.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
In the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. That's the sixth stanza of the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ with Us Abide. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. So how does this Reformation evening Word of God Church Militant hymn conclude, Pastor Whedon?
Well, this is really a beautiful prayer, begging the Lord to keep us true and preserve our faith, because only His Word can do the job here. It is the church's glorious confidence. To get what that means to a Lutheran, you need to think about how, I mean, the distinction here between, say, the Roman Catholic and Orthodox approach and the Lutheran approach. Here, for Orthodoxy or for Roman Catholicism, what is primary? What is the thing that guarantees that everything else is for sure? It's the church. Granted, they can't agree with each other about which is which, but that it's the church that guarantees it. And it is not the Word. So they're not sure about us. They're not going to say you're not a Christian, but they're like, you know, you're not church. We're sure of that. Lutherans, on the other hand, can look at a Roman Catholic or Orthodox and we say, you know, we recognize you as church. Why? Because you have the Word. It's the Word that binds you to Jesus by the Holy Spirit's power. And it's that which gives you faith and sustains you in Him, whether you recognize it or not. And we have the Word. This is our glorious confidence. How do I know the sacrament of the altar is for sure? How do I know it's real? because Jesus says, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Take and drink my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. His word is never a nothing. It always gives what it says. Does that make sense? I mean, I think that's a huge, big distinction for us that we need to be really clear on when we're dealing with them. They put the order as church, word, and sacraments. So the church guarantees that the word and sacraments will actually do the job. We do it in the exact verse. Word and sacraments guarantee that the church is the community where the gifts of God are being given.
We are also praying in this last stanza that by his word and sacraments, he would keep us true. What does that mean?
Well, true and faithful to his teachings as we've received them in the word of God, that we do not falsify them, that we do not compromise on them. And boy, started out with Melanchthon, right? The temptation to compromise is huge. Zelnecker was this man who would not compromise. He would not bend, even when it meant losing position after position, being forced to move time and again. The man refused to compromise with something that he could not believe in. He held to the word of God and said, nope. And especially it was about the sacrament of the altar. And that's where the fight in the last half of the 16th century really centered in. He would not yield on the insistence that in the sacrament of the altar, Jesus actually does put his body into our mouth and his blood poured down our throats for the forgiveness of our sin. If you can't say it that plainly and that straightly, he's like, I can't have fellowship with you.
Let's hear the entire hymn, Lord Jesus Christ with us abide.
Oh,
That's the hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, with us abide. Pastor Whedon, what are your final thoughts on this? I have a new appreciation for this hymn. I always liked it before, but I like it even more now. What are your final thoughts?
Well, I hope that everybody has that same appreciation, that they realize this is really one of the great treasures from the Reformation century, and it is utterly worthy of being memorized, put into your heart and mind, maybe with that old TLH stanza, for that one stanza, so that you remember that we're fighting the haughty spirits, but that you definitely hold these words and pray them all the time. Lord Jesus, stay with us, protect us by your word. Lord Jesus, give us great confidence, because your word is the only thing that will see us through the darkness and bring us safely home.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, if you enjoy our hymn studies, LCMS Worship has produced numerous Hymn of the Day studies. You can download them for free at lcms.org/worship. lcms.org/worship. Finally, on Issues Etc. on this Thursday, October the 22nd, when we come back from this break, Pope Francis has reported to have made statements about same-sex civil unions, favorable statements. Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House joins us to take it all apart.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
The seasons are changing, the weather cooling, and it's almost time to commemorate All Saints' Day and the Reformation. That means it's the perfect time of year to celebrate our faithful pastors. Ad Crucem has an excellent selection of gifts for clergy. Come and see our pictorial crucifixes, Christmons, posters, art, greeting cards, wooden plaques, or, if you can't decide your favorite, purchase a gift card of any denomination. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Sanctifying your commute with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. SimplyClassical.com.